Welcome in to Chi-Town Sports Wrap-Up here at the podcast edition. This is the show I used to do on sportstownchicago.com. Decided to move it to a podcast form. Just with COVID and everything, a little bit easier to do. Get my thoughts about anything in Chicago sports and everything that's going on in the world of sports. And today, recording this on Wednesday, January 13th, there's a lot going on in the world of sports today. In Chicago, the Bears had their higher-ups meet with the media today as their season-ending press conference. Oh boy, that was something. It was anything but good there for the Bears. I'll get into that. And then just in the last hour or so, James Harden gets traded from the Houston Rockets. Finally, after some of his comments yesterday, after their loss to the Los Angeles Lakers, he gets traded to the Brooklyn Nets. So that's a big deal in the NBA. Always something going on in the NBA. And in between that, we'll get back to stock up, stock down. Excited to get back to that segment. But to start with the Chicago Bears, I mean, not the season people were hoping for, especially when the Bears starting out 5-1. Just kind of surprising. They started 5-1. Everyone's like, is this actually a good team, or is they just taking advantage of some bad teams that they've been playing? And look like they're taking advantage of some bad teams they're playing, especially when you look at some of the teams they're able to beat towards the end of the year, Jacksonville and Houston. But you could see the flaws of this team even when they were 5-1. And then they lose 6 in a row, 5-7, to their credit, battle back, get to 8-8, get into that playoff game. And then aren't we glad the Bears made the playoffs? I mean, that was a really fun game to watch on Sunday. I mean, it was just the movie we've seen for the last 2 years. Can't do anything on offense. Defense will keep them into it for a little bit. But, I mean, just undisciplined across the board. It's just really frustrating to watch. A lot of penalties. Eddie Jackson jumping off sides on the fourth down play that gives the Saints the first down. Giving up numerous third and longs, just unacceptable football. Javon Wims dropping a wide open touchdown pass. Does the game change after that? I think it does. That would put the Bears up 10-7. I mean, the defense was playing pretty well, keeping the Saints in check. It was only 7-3 at halftime. So, I mean, Bears had their chance to win that game. Now, you look at the game and you watch the game, you'd be like, the Bears are getting dominated. Even when the game was 7-3, they're still getting dominated. And I was sitting there watching the game, just kind of like, do these guys even want to play? Just the undisciplined penalties, dropping passes. They just didn't look like a team ready to play, and they can't overcome slow starts. So the Saints, once they got that next score to go up double digits, you could just kind of tell that that was going to be it for the Bears. And for me, I was saying that during that six-game losing streak, we had all this anger. You could see here in Chicago on Twitter and everybody wanting change, wanting it from the top down. I mean, it's not going to change unless it comes from the top down. And with Ted Phillips and George McCaskey, who we're going to hear from a little bit of their press conference in a little bit here, but they need change. Those guys need to change. They've been there for so long, and Ryan Pace is done with 6 years. Matt Nagy is done with 3. They're moving on to their 7th and 4th years respectively now, because today during that press conference, George and Ted was basically saying that they believe in Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. And for some reason, I don't know what they're watching. They've liked what they've done so far in their coaching tenure. So I just don't know what they've seen. I mean, this team went 12-4 in 2018, and you think that they're on a Super Bowl contender going into 2019. I thought so. I thought the defense would stay solid. This was going to be year 3 for Mitch in the league, year 2 in the Matt Nagy offense. You have plenty of reason to believe why they could be a lot better team, why they could compete for the Super Bowl. Defense is a big reason why teams win Super Bowls. Maybe not so much now as the Chiefs and everybody, the Bills, all those teams are really putting up a lot of points, but they still got solid defenses. But you just score 3 points in that first game against Green Bay, and it's kind of just set the tone for the last 30-plus games we've seen from the Bears these past 2 years. And it's just how it is. Their offense has struggled under Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy is supposed to be the guy to come in, be the quarterback whisperer with Mitch, and turn this offense around. The Bears have never had like a big, high-powered offense. It's always been defense, and that's what we've come accustomed to in the city of Chicago. And the defense took a step back, if we're being quite honest, and it's sad. It's a sad thing to see that they would just take that step back, because you would think that they would still be that elite defense, but they've kind of just grown old, and now they're starting to lose the years on those prime years. Ryan and with and that, that Khalil Mack trade, and we're already 3 years past that Khalil Mack trade, and he's getting up there, and they've really been able to shut down his production, the teams that the Bears have been playing. So he still grades out well in the analytics, which is good. I mean, he's still a key piece for this Bears team because of how much teams have to game plan for him and how much attention he draws. But you just look at disappointing signings. Like Robert Quinn was supposed to be a guy that helps balance it out with Khalil Mack. He only gets two sacks, and he's getting about around $14, $15 million a year. And there's still four more years on that deal. So the Bears are just in a tough spot, and I was hoping to see changes, at least one of Pace and Nagy going. The McCaskies aren't going to sell the team. Even getting rid of Ted Phillips, I mean, you just listening to his press conference, and I encourage you to go listen to it. It's 40-something minutes for Phillips and McCaskey, and the same goes for Matt and Pace. They're long, but I mean, you just listen, and you just wonder what these guys were looking at and why they're bringing them back. But why don't I just let them tell you why, and then we can dissect it after. But here's what George McCaskey had to say about why he believes Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are the guys for the future.
Ryan and Matt are men of character. They are both, like Ted, outstanding leaders. I've been most impressed with how well they collaborate. I was impressed with both of them this past season, especially during the six-game losing streak. The fact that our players never gave up is a tribute to the players. It is also indicative of the type of players that Ryan acquires and to the players' regard for Matt as their head coach. Like Ted and I, Ryan and Matt, too, have vigorous discussions. In the end, all four of us want what's best for the Bears. There are no egos. There are no other agendas. Have mistakes been made? Yes. But I think both Ryan and Matt are learning and growing in their roles. Before turning it over to Ted, I want to take a moment to tell Bears fans, we understand your frustration. We're frustrated, too. And it would be a perfectly natural reaction to say, back up the truck, major overhaul, whatever you want to call it. After one particularly dispiriting loss this season, a season ticket holder sent me an email that read, fire somebody, we deserve better. I get it. You deserve your Bears being winners. The decisions we're announcing today may not be the easiest or most popular, but we believe they're the best decisions for the Bears.
Easiest or most popular, but they're the best decision for the Bears. Earlier in that, he said, no egos aside, then why are these guys back? Can you answer that? Why are these guys back if there's no ego aside? Seems like you kind of have an ego if it seems like you're blindly turning in your eye to what is going on. And he says Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are learning and growing in their roles. Ryan Pace has been here. This is going to be his seventh year since he's staying now in 2020. This is going to be Matt Nagy's fourth year. Isn't learning and growing for years like 1 and 2, not 7 and 4? 7 and 4 years. And then he just goes on to say, we understand your frustration. He brings up that email from the fans, fire somebody. He goes, this is not a popular decision, but we believe this is the best decision for the Bears moving forward. Maybe you should go with the popular decision, because from what I've seen and from what most of Chicago has seen, from what the Nationals have seen, I mean, the Bears are just getting dumped on it on national televised games. Green Bay game earlier this year, playoff game this year, Monday Night Football against the Rams, last year Sunday Night Football against the Rams. What else are you looking for? When the Bears are in the national spotlight, they're just getting destroyed. It's embarrassing to watch. I'm not saying Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy aren't great guys or good leaders. I think at least Matt Nagy's a pretty good leader. Seems like the guys like him. They buy in. They fight for him. But you need more results, like wins and loss results, not the other kind of stuff. He goes 12-4 his first year. The last 2 years, they're 8-8. You could even put either really 8-9 this year with the playoff loss. Is that acceptable? It seems like this is an organization, if they're going to bring these guys back and they have all this confidence in them, this is an organization comfortable with mediocrity, and it's unacceptable. This is a city that loves their sports teams, and this is a Bears city. You could say it was a Cubs city in 2016 or when the Cubs were on their run or the Bulls of the 90s. No. What's the one team that this city always talks about? It's the 85 Bears, the last team to win the Super Bowl. And really the last time they had a good quarterback. They've been searching for the franchise quarterbacks ever since I was born. I'm 23. Really, in everybody's lifetime, they've been searching for this franchise quarterback. It wasn't Jay Cutler. It wasn't Rex Grossman. It's not Mitchell Trubisky. I know the truthers are still out there. It's not him. There's a lot of issues with this team, and it starts at the top with McCaskey, Phillips, and Down. They need to get rid of everybody. They need a fresh start because these guys clearly still think that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are the answer. And now what are we going to be a year from now? Who's going to be the quarterback? They didn't pick up Mitch's option. Nick Foles, they talked about him a little. You're 20th in the draft. You're not going to get Lawrence or Fields, not even Zach Wilson or Trey Lance. Where do you go? Ryan Pace swung and missed once on drafting a franchise quarterback. He signed Mike Glennon and Nick Foles. How did that work out? What do you do now? That's the question Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace have to answer. And now with George McCaskey and Ted Phillips, apparently they think Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy's strong connection between each other, their bond, their communication, apparently that's enough for them.
Not all the decisions may be the right ones, but when you can collaborate and trust each other and you have the ability to challenge each other and come out united, you stand a better chance to make more right decisions than wrong ones. Those are the strong leadership skills that both Ryan and Matt possess. There's plenty of improvement that needs to be made, but Ryan and Matt have the ability, and it's not easy, to self-reflect, to understand where we've fallen short and where we can make improvements. To me, that is being accountable. We trust Ryan and Matt to use their experiences together, the good ones, the bad ones, learn from them, and to bring a consistently winning team back to Chicago.
Sounds good, right? But being accountable, the last 2 years, how many times have we said Matt Nagy needs to run the ball? I don't know, every week? Well, the game last season, Walter Payton bobblehead day. Ironic, Bears run 7 times, lose. They get the run game going a little bit. Granted, they're playing against bad teams towards the end of the season. Hey, to Dave Montgomery's credit, he rushed for 1,000 yards. Top 10 rusher in the NFL. He should get a $100 million contract based on that because of how much Matt Nagy hates to run the football. Guess in the playoffs, guess what? He needed to run the ball more. Montgomery runs for 12 times. Mitch is out there throwing. He's missing guys. He's missing his second read. His overall numbers look okay, but if you watch that game, you can tell that the offense is just handicapped and they can't score. But they got their touchdown at the end of the game, 21-9. Looks a little better. 24 points in 2 playoff games in Matt Nagy. Only 15 against the Eagles. Should have been 18. Cody Parkey missed that field goal. Man, wasn't that nice when we ignored the quarterback and the offensive lineman problem that offseason? If we get a kicker, we're going to win the Super Bowl. Whole kicking derby, 8-9 kickers, Augusta Silence. You finally find your kicker, Eddie Pinheiro, does okay, gets hurt. You find Cairo Santos. Hey, the one thing for the Bears this season, they got a kicker. Cairo Santos made 25-plus in a row to end the season. That's good because your offense sure as hell isn't putting it in the end zone. And if Nick Foles is the quarterback, I mean, you better hope you get like 3-4 offensive linemen in this draft upcoming up because he can't move. And that was proven when he was in there this year and he was just sitting in there. But don't worry, Matt and Ryan talk. They have a connection. They work good together. Even if they make the thing that made me laugh is like, as long as they're collaborating and working together and talking, you don't make the right decision, it's okay. You'll make more than not. They have not made a lot of good decisions here lately. And who's going to call the play calls? Now Chuck Pagano's gone. Is he going to be the scapegoat? Is he going to be the Mark Helfrich from last year? Getting rid of the offensive coaches. Now Chuck Pagano retires. You got to find a new D coordinator. It hasn't been the same since Vic Fangio left. Where do you go there? What are you doing on offense? Is Mack going to still call the plays? We don't even know who's calling the plays. Bill Lazor calls the plays first week, 149 total yards in a whole game against the Vikings. Their defense isn't even that good. You think the Vikings, oh, it's a good defense. Not this year. 149. Guess what game? What game that was? Monday Night Football, national TV. Apparently the Bears are okay with getting embarrassed on those, especially against their rivals. Those games are always in prime time. Bears and Packers, always in prime time. Packers are just steamrolling you every time. How come they can go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers and the Bears can't even find one good quarterback? There's a lot of issues, and this press conference doesn't make you feel any better. This is a terrible press conference, one of the worst you will ever see. If I hear Matt and Ryan, or at least we have dialogue, at least we talk, like if I keep hearing that, I'm going to go crazy. It's insanity thinking that you're not going to change anything and you're going to expect different results. Mike Tomlin, they go 11-5. They make the playoffs almost every year. Last year they didn't. Big Ben gets hurt. Mike Tomlin has them in playoff contention. They lose to the Browns. Team in their division. Bad loss. Today he comes up. This is not acceptable. It's insane to think that if we don't change anything, nothing will happen. That's a really good football coach, Mike Tomlin. Very successful. And he's out there saying it's insane to think if we don't change anything, nothing's gonna improve. We're not gonna be better. And you have the Bears over here saying, well, Matt and Ryan are always talking and they collaborate and they work well together. So I think they'll make the great decision. What is that? The city deserves so much better than what they're getting. And it doesn't seem like we're going to get any changes. Another thing that was funny is Ted Phillips was talking about how they have a good football culture with these two. Sure, the culture seems good. The people like each other, but you need results. This is what he had to say.
Well, you know what? That's a decision that there's lots of different layers to any decision to keep a person, not keep a person. So we'll look at all the different layers and peel them all back. And as I think George mentioned, we're gonna know whether we're heading in the right direction or not. And that's how we feel about it. This is a people business. And when we step back and we've taken a look at what are the qualities of a successful manager, general manager, and a head coach, we feel that Ryan and Matt check off lots of those boxes. Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there. And so whenever you make a decision, in my opinion, there's lots of ripple effects throughout other parts of the building too, and other people's careers. And we have a solid football foundation. We have a solid football culture. We truly believe that because we've delved into all the different issues that make up a solid football culture, and we feel confident that will lead us and lead Matt and Ryan to make the right decisions and correct some of the mistakes in the past.
Ted Phillips, president and CEO of the Bears. We haven't won enough games. We haven't figured out the quarterback position, but everything else is there. What's everything else? I'd like him to tell me. Offensive line can't block anybody. You haven't spent a first-round pick on an offensive lineman since 2013. Last time you spent it on tackle was like 2009. So, this isn't a people business. I mean, it's great to have great working relationships. You need it. It's an important part. And it seems like the Bears, a lot of people get along there, and that's good. But when the results on the field aren't wins, I mean, you can hold hands and sing kumbaya all you want, but your job performance is based on wins and losses. Right now, the Bears are a 500 team. You want the last 2 years, they're one game below. That's not acceptable. In a big market like this, it's not acceptable. But don't worry. Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace have a great working relationship. They like working with each other. They get stuff done. So, At least the Bears have that. I hope they can figure it out. Drafting 20th, it'll be interesting to see if they go quarterback or offensive lineman. They need both. You need corner depth. You see Jalen Johnson go down, messes up the whole defense. You're going to need a couple wide receivers. The way Allen Robinson was talking, doesn't seem like he's coming back. There's another miss by Ryan Pace. Allen Robinson wanted to stay. I don't think he wants to stay anymore. You should have locked him up last year. Allen Robinson's guys had Blake Bortles and Mitchell Trubisky as his quarterback. He's still putting over 1,000 yards. You get a halfway decent quarterback in here. What could happen with him? Darnell Mooney's a good player. I don't know if he's number one receiver. Solid two or three. But you're going to need another one. Javon Wims, Anthony Miller. Both have trouble just keeping their heads in the game. They both punch C.J. Gardner-Johnson. They both get ejected. Anthony Miller does in a playoff game. After Matt Nagy talked about it during the week. Javon Wims drops an open touchdown pass. Those are guys that might be on their way out of Chicago, and they probably should be. But that's on the coaching staff again. Those are, especially Anthony Miller, is the guy you traded up for. Really good in college. I liked him a lot. But you didn't develop him. He didn't seem like he knew the play calls, and almost immediately, Darnell Mooney takes his snaps right off the jump. What's going on with Riley Ridley? It's the guy that's like, this absolute steal in the fourth round. Barely's played. Are you guys not developing him right? That falls back on the coaching. You see his brother, Calvin, one of the best receivers in the NFL, he's turned it into. Him and Julio in Atlanta. Just a lot of question marks for the Bears. And this press conference doesn't make you feel any better. I mean, even getting in with what Pace and Nagy said. Just a lot of stuff that we've heard the last couple of years. We'll figure it out. We got a lot to do. We're excited to get into it. You guys are going to have to hit, or else they might be going out this next year. It's just surprising to me that the Bears might draft another quarterback this year, and they're letting Ryan Pace do it, and he might not even have his contract after this year. So another thing, credit to the Chicago media. They really pressed the questions and really asking the questions that the fans want to know. They dodged them, of course, but they kept asking them, what's the contract situation? None of the four would answer. Have they got an extension? George said no, the Pace and Nagy didn't get one, but when they asked how long the contracts were, they all dodged it. They wouldn't say. Do they have a secret under-the-table extension, kind of like Jim Boylan got with the Bulls? Kind of how the White Sox have done? I don't know. It's just a mess for the Bears, and we'll have plenty of time to get into the more of their problems, but just the instant reaction. This is just an embarrassing press conference for the Bears. Doesn't do anything. It was just laughable. I was just sitting there laughing at most of it. Just like how these guys think they have Pace and Nagy, and they think that's how they got to go. Doug Peterson of the Eagles brought them to the Super Bowl literally 3 years ago. He falls short of expectations. No problem getting him out of there. He's another Andy Reid guy. No problem getting him out of there. But Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy make two playoff appearances. One because they add an extra team. No, we'll stay. You guys have done enough. Doug Peterson won the whole thing. He won the Super Bowl. And he fell short of expectation. They said, no, get out of here. Just what have the Bears seen to give these guys an extension? I want to know. And they didn't really answer that. They just talked about how they work well together. And Matt and Ryan, they got a good football culture. Everything's there. We just haven't won enough games. We don't have a quarterback. Those are the two biggest factors in football, quarterback and winning games. The city deserves better, and hopefully there will be better times coming soon. But coming up next here on Chi-Town Sports Wrap-Up, it's the segment that you look forward to every week. It's time for Stock Up and Stock Down.
Whose stock's rising? Whose stock is falling? From the last week in sports, it's time for Stock Up and Stock Down on Chi-Town Sports Wrap-Up.
Stock up and stock down from the last week in sports. Of course, I want to hear what you guys have to say. You could tweet me at Jack Heinrich 22 what you think your stock up and stock down is from going on from So last little while here in sports, always a fun segment to go through on here, but I want to hear what you guys have to say. So tweet me those at JackConnor22. We'll start with stock up, and my stock up, my first stock up for this week, you got to go Alabama football. I mean, at least we got to see some good football this weekend. Well, I mean, there's a lot of other good NFL games really besides that Bears game. Sorry, I'm still a little mad about that. But Alabama steamrolling Ohio State. I mean, what can you say? Nick Saban's just building a winner down there. I saw this stat on Twitter. Every player that Nick Saban has recruited to come to Alabama, they've won a national title. That's crazy. Every player that Nick Saban has recruited to come to Alabama has won a national championship. He's one of the best at what he does. Like him or hate him, he wins rings, and that's what you're looking for. My next stop up, we're going to baseball. Kind of refreshing to see. We got three teams in baseball really going for it. The Padres and the White Sox. I mean, the White Sox, man, they're really going for it. And especially with the Cubs kind of acting like a small market team, they're going for it. Padres trading for you, Darvish, Blake Snell. They're going for it. You know who else is going for it? The New York Mets are going for it. They get Steve Cohen as their owner. He says he's going to invest money in the team. They go out and sign James McCann. Then they go out and get the guy that's been in trade rumors for the last couple years. They get Francisco Lindor. They get the face of their franchise. One of the best shortstop in baseball. Top 10 player in baseball. Switch hitter. Smile that lights up a room. He's going to the Big Apple. Cleveland, don't know why they're trading him. Kind of same thing with James Harden. Don't know why they're trading him or how they let that situation get there. But they trade Francisco Lindor. They get Carlos Carrasco, too. Nice pickup for the rotation. Mets are doing a lot of good things. Solid team. DeGrom. Syndergaard's going to be coming back from Tommy John. The Mets, they might be a player in the NL this year, especially in the future. They got Lindor. Got a lot of nice pieces. Pete Alonso. Brandon Nimmo out there. They got a lot of nice pieces. Jacob DeGrom, obviously. Got James McCann, JD Davis. I mean, they got a lot of nice pieces out there in New York. So, there's something to watch for. They're able to pull off the trade for Francisco Lindor. Totally worth it. And they're looking good for the future. And I was just talking about my next stock up is the White Sox. They signed Liam Hendricks this week. They got a scary team. And nobody in the AL is really going for it. The White Sox are the only team that's improved. They get Lance Lynn. That helps the rotation. Giolito, Keuchel, Lance Lynn. That's a nice top three. Ed and Dylan Steeves, Michael Kopech coming back from Tommy John. Got a new pitching coach, Ethan Katz. Worked with Giolito in high school. I've heard him talk. He's been really, really good with what he said. I'm excited to see what he does. You also have Ronaldo Lopez. Some insurance. I mean, then you bolster that end, that back end of the bullpen for the White Sox with Liam Hendricks, arguably the best reliever in baseball. And relievers fluctuate every year, but Liam Hendricks had a solid under two ERA the last 2 years with Oakland. And now you add him, Garrett Crochet. Can he go in the rotation? Are they going to keep him in the bullpen? Throws 100 lefty. Bummer's been a great reliever, Cody Hoyer. And now you add Hendricks, even with losing Colomé, who's been really good. This is scary for the White Sox, especially in the AL Central. The Indians just traded Francisco Lindor. Twins haven't re-signed Nelson Cruz. They can't win in the playoffs. They have to prove it. White Sox are at least by far the best team in the AL Central. They're pushing for the best team in the AL. They're scary. They're really scary. Even with signing Adam Eaton, which I didn't understand, still a high contact bat. Year two with Luis Robert. Eloy Jimenez, year three. Moncada, done with COVID and the side effects. Yikes. That's scary. So White Sox, Alabama, and the Mets. Stock up. Now, stock down. I was talking about them before. Bears wide receivers. Let's just listen to what happened on Sunday with them.
Then you get to run a route on the next play. That's what you get to do, Jim.
Yeah, they snap it. They get it back to him. Montgomery had taken the snap. Trubisky launching it. Right back to Wims. And he drops a touchdown. The pass was perfect.
The culprits were on this unsportsmanlike penalty. Here's Miller. Take a look.
After the play was over, there were fouls by both teams. Unsportsmanlike conduct, number 22 of New Orleans. Unsportsmanlike conduct, number 17 of Chicago. Number 17 from Chicago has been disqualified.
Good thing the Bears made the playoffs, right? Tough day for the Bears receivers, Javon Wims and Anthony Miller. Like I touched on a little bit earlier, they talked about CJ Gardner-Johnson antics. Anthony Miller talked during the week. He's like, I'm not going to let him get to me. He doesn't have anything. He won't get under my skin, really. He doesn't have any antics to get to me. Well, I guess he did. You get tossed. You're already down Darnell Mooney. You're even thinner at that wide receiver position. Javon Wims blows the open touchdown. He just had, I mean, he's a seventh round pick. I mean, you can't expect that much, but tough weekend for the Bears offense, especially the Bears wide receivers. I mean, cue the clown music. I mean, the circus music, because they didn't help their cause at all. So Bears wide receivers first stocked out. My next one is the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is a team that was undefeated for most of the season, 10-0. And they have a rough end of the season, 11-5, but they got a home game against Cleveland Browns. Don't worry, they're just the Browns, right? How about 28 points given up in the first quarter? Tied for the most in NFL playoff history for most points in that third or in that first quarter. Hey, good for me. Part of my parlay this weekend was over in that game. Got that over pretty quick. So stock up for me there, but stock down for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, and Juju Smith-Schuster is talking about during that week that they're the Browns. It's like, we got nothing to worry about. They're just the Cleveland Browns. Looks like he had something to worry about there, Juju. Tough weekend for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then Mike Tomlin comes out and says it's unacceptable. Just another thing with the Bears needed to start doing, because he knows that that's unacceptable. And then to lose like that, it's the Browns' first playoff win over 20 years. So they did in dominating fashion. The Steelers got dominated and all its expectations, and they fell short. And my final stock down for this week is the Houston Texans. It's just been a mess there. They're not listening to Deshaun Watson. They traded DeAndre Hopkins last year. They hired the new GM from the New England Patriots. Deshaun Watson gets mad, says he was not told again. They didn't tell him about DeAndre Hopkins trade. He found that out on social media. I don't know how that keeps happening in sports, why they wouldn't try to keep their star players happy, but there's rumors that he wants out. Deshaun Watson's a top five quarterback in the NFL. He had nobody to throw to this year, and he threw for the most yards in the NFL. That's a player you can build around. Could the Bears be in on him? They should send everything they can to try to get him. Right there, wrong. I don't care if they give up like 8 first-round picks. You have to go get him. But Andre Johnson, great wide receiver for the Texans. He's even out there going against the Texans. He said, if I'm Deshaun Watson, I'll stand my ground. Texans organization is known for wasting players' careers. He played there most of his career. Since Jack Easterby has walked into that building, nothing good has happened in and for the organization, and for some reason people can't seem to see what's going on. Pathetic. That's one of the best players in your organization tweeting that. Yikes. They have to change fast. Now, they are interviewing Eric Bieniemy, who's a guy Deshaun Watson had at the top of his list. Great offensive coordinator for the Chiefs. I mean, didn't work here in Chicago, but Bieniemy's really been really good, and he's had more time to call the plays than Matt Nagy did. He seems like a good coaching hire. I want the Bears to go after him if they're going to fire Matt Nagy, but they didn't. So we'll see how that goes. But for now, stock down to the Houston Texans. Bears receivers, Pittsburgh Steelers, Houston Texans are my stocks down for the week. I want to hear yours, so tweet me at JackHeinrich22. I'd love to hear what you guys had to say. But just to end real quickly here, big blockbuster trade in the NBA. James Harden finally gets traded. It's been an ongoing saga really since the season started that he wasn't happy there and he wanted to go, especially after Russell Westbrook gets traded. They both weren't happy. James stays. It seems like he's going to stay. And then last night happens. And he basically just throws his whole team under the bus, saying that they're not ready to play and they can't compete with the Lakers. And then John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins, those two are really good friends, two good players, weren't happy with that. He's told not to go to practice today until they figure out this trade saga. So then it really starts to pick up. Where's he going to go? Philly? No, he's going to Brooklyn. This trade happened about 2 hours ago, and he finally gets his wish. He's going to play back with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving as well. He's been out with personal matters, and nobody really knows what he's doing, but that's a nice little team that Brooklyn's got over there now. Now, they had to trade a lot of their depth to get there, so we'll see how that goes in the seven-game playoff series, but the full trade, I mean, it's a doozy of a trade, too. Victor Oladipo's also involved. Cleveland's involved. The Nets get James Harden. The Rockets get Victor Oladipo, Dante Exum, and Rudinas Kurucs from the Nets. They get three Brooklyn first-rounders, a one Milwaukee first, and four first-round swaps with Brooklyn. So they got a haul, a lot of draft picks. Going to need to hit on those, but they got a lot of draft picks for the future. The Pacers get Caris LeVert in a second rounder, and then the Cavs sneaking in here. They did throw a first-round pick in. It's Milwaukee's, but they get Jared Allen and Taurean Prince. They have a bunch of centers. They already got Kevin Love and Andre Drummond. But Jared Allen, only 22, that's a nice pickup for the Cavs. But James Harden finally gets traded. If they can get Kyrie Irving back, you look at the talent on paper, you would think this is the team to beat in the East, but we'll have to see. We've seen team players get together before and it hasn't worked out. So it'll be interesting, really interesting. James Harden finally gets his wish to get out of there. He hasn't been playing well really recently. Maybe he's just trying to get traded or not, but that's an interesting trade there for the Nets. And the Rockets get that haul back. Nice little get in Victor Oladipo. John Wall, Victor Oladipo, PJ Tucker, Christian Wood, Boogie Cousins. Not a bad starting five. Especially if they all want to be there, since James Harden seemed to be a big reason for some of their struggles with maybe people getting mad at him and stuff, and now they got people that could buy in. But the interesting part of the trade for me was the Pacers trading Victor Oladipo, who I thought they could maybe make a run in the East, not like maybe win a round or two, but they've been a very solid team the last couple of years, and they trade off Victor Oladipo. Caris LeVert's a nice player. He had 40-plus points about a week ago. But they trade Victor Oladipo, then they get a Caris LeVert in a second rounder. He is coming off his Achilles injury, but he's a solid player. Aspiring contract, there's rumors he wanted to leave. So we'll see how that works in Indy and how that affects the Bulls. I mean, the Bulls have been playing a lot better recently. They had their game against Boston canceled yesterday on Tuesday, and their next game's against Oklahoma City Friday. They only go 1-3 on that West Coast trip, but they're in every game, especially against the Clippers and the Lakers, played well. Billy Donovan's getting them to play a lot better now. Zach LaVine and Coby White have played well, so it'll be interesting to see how that shapes the Central Division going forward. The Bulls with the rebuilding, but for this year, Nets really going for it, and we'll see what happens. James Harden and Kevin Durant are finally reunited. We'll see. On the surface, Houston gets a lot back. They probably could have got more in the offseason, but they finally get James Harden out. They can finally move on from CP3 and Harden and Russ and Harden. New star for them. They got a hit on those draft picks, but the Nets are going all in. I'm interested to see. They get another star player. They got three stars now. Can they mesh? I like the move. James Harden's a top 10 player in the NBA when he's good. They might have three top 10 players, at least three top 15. So they got the talent. Now it's can they go out and execute? Really, really, really interesting trade there in the NBA. But excited for what this podcast could be. Just talking sports, anything that happens in sports. Follow me on Twitter at JackHenrick22. I'd love to interact with you guys there. It's also where you'll find the episodes when I let them or tweet them out. But hopefully these Bears, man, not a lot of changes. Disappointing day there. And let me know your stock up and stock downs on Twitter as well, or on Facebook, wherever you see this at. I'd love to hear what you guys have to say. And the NBA never ceases to bring something. Something crazy is always going on in the NBA. So we'll see how that works out. I'm excited to see how James Harden adapts to moving to Brooklyn and how he fits in with KD. Will Kyrie come back? If Kyrie doesn't come back, it's a pretty good insurance policy having James Harden there to play with them. So good stuff for the NBA. Just another crazy day in the NBA. We'll be interesting to see how to follow that, and we'll definitely be following that here on the show. But thanks for tuning in. Always appreciate everybody listening. And I'm going to be trying to do this at least once a week. Just anything in sports, mainly Chicago related, but we touched on some national stuff. But thanks for tuning in. Appreciate it as always. And I'll see you guys in the next one.
See you later.
Fade to black moment.
Enough already.
It's over. Drive home safely. BB.